نستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا لهو ولعب وإن الآخرة لهي الحيوان لو كانوا يعلمون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أنا في الدنيا إلا كراكب استظل تحت شجرة ثم راح فتركها وقال أيضا كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر سبيل وقال أيضا الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Honorable ulama, respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, he was a great alim of his time in the last 150 years or so. By the name of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he resided in India, and at that time, whilst Maulana was alive, there was a certain plague which had broken out, the result of which many people were losing their lives. But what was a cause of concern for Mullah Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali was that in this difficult time, when this plague was taking the lives of people, he noticed that amongst the Muslim population, they developed a great fear for death. So this perturbed Mullah. Because for a mu'min, death is not something to fear. It was never the quality of a mu'min, of a believer, one who has iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to fear death. This in fact was the quality of those who were non-Muslims. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Yahud, and Allah says that وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَىٰ حَيَاةٍ, that you will find the Yahud, they are the most desirous people to live. So strong is their desire to live in this world, that Allah says, يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ, that if they could have a life of 1,000 years in this world, then they are happy to just sit in this world for 1,000 years and remain in this world. But a mu'min on the other hand, for him death was تُحْفَةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ الْمَوْتِ, that death is in fact the gift of a believer. And why is this? Because they say, Al-Mawtu Jisrun Yusilu Al-Habiba Ila Al-Habiba. That death is in fact a bridge which takes a lover to his beloved. So Mulana Rahmatullah Ali at this time then, he puts pen to paper in order to write a kitab now which can treat this malady, this fear, this worry and concern that people have that they're going to die. But what was unique and amazing was the title that Mulana gives this book. Mulana titled his book Shauke Watan. Now Shauke Watan, if you have to translate it into English, it will translate as love for one's homeland. So outwardly it does not make sense. Because what does you having love for your homeland got to do with treating your fear of death? It doesn't make sense. But when you turn the pages of the book and you see what Mulana had written and what he was explaining, then you see that Mulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali's vision and farsightedness was far ahead. When Mulana mentioned Shauke Watan, that love for homeland, he was not speaking about India or South Africa or some physical piece of land on the face of this earth. Mulana was speaking about the real homeland of each and every one of us. And that is Jannah. So this was the message that Mulana was giving, that the homeland of each and every one of us is Jannah. And he was building this desire within each and every one of us, that just like how when a person leaves a place and goes somewhere else, then it is famous that east, west, home is best. He always wants to come back home. Mulana is reminding us of our real home, which is Jannah. Now we will try, inshallah, today and put an example before ourselves. And through this example, we will learn some lessons. And we can keep these lessons in front of us and take some messages to keep it in front of us in our life so that we do not forget our ultimate homeland. Take an example of an individual. And this individual is myself. This individual is yourself. Each and every one of us put ourselves in the shoes of this individual. So when we are very small, maybe 2 years old, we were taken away from our homeland. Let's say we were born in South Africa, for example, or some area. And we were taken to a foreign country, a foreign land. And we grow up in this foreign land. And we become accustomed and used to this foreign land. Now because we had left our homeland when we were very young, then in our mind and our memory, we do not have any recollection of what is there back home. We have forgotten about everything back home. All we know is this foreign land that we are now growing up in. So what happens then? We receive a letter from back home. And this letter comes to us. And when we read this letter, then we find a description of what our real home is back home. So we left long ago. We don't know what it was. But in this letter we read that your home is extremely beautiful. Your home is amazing. Whatever you see in that foreign land is nothing compared to what there is waiting in store for you back home. If in that foreign land you see houses, then here there's castles and estates and land that you cannot imagine. If in that land you see fruit, then here you will get orchards. And whatever you are experiencing in that foreign land, then know very well that back home, it is much, much, much better than that. So this letter comes to us now in this foreign land with a messenger. And this messenger also explains to us, because he has seen back home and he knows how beautiful and amazing it is. And he gives us further descriptions of all the beauty, of all the exotic sceneries, the lakes, the dams, the mountains, the oceans that are there back home. Now, respected brothers, how does this apply to us in our journey of this life? That real homeland that we have left was Jannah. That temporary foreign land we have come to is this world, this dunya. We have received a letter, and we have a messenger who also explained to us that letter, and who told us details of what is there back home. That letter is none other than the Quran Sharif, and that messenger is Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who through his Mubarak Sunnah has explained to us in great detail and description that what is in store for us in Jannah and the hereafter. And he gave us many a message which should open our eyes and make us realize that the life in this world is nothing at all compared to what Allah has in store for us in the Akhirah. And together with that, this letter also, it has details that if we now want to make a safe journey back home, if we want to ensure a nice, comfortable, good journey and trip back home, then what do we need to do in this time we are in the foreign land? So like that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also explained to us, the Quran Sharif also gives us guidelines that how do we need to carry ourselves to ensure that we have a safe journey and trip back to Jannah. The second example, second point we can take from this example is that this person that, you know what, not my land forever. I have a home which I have to return to. And he also realizes that no matter how much I invest and build on this foreign land, nothing of it is coming with me back home. No matter how much I amass, when I'm going back home, maybe I will only have one seat on the plane. So I cannot take any of what I build over here back home with me. So what would be the sensible thing then to do? For example, if he's getting a monthly income of 1,000 rand, then he will structure his salary or his capital in such a way that in this foreign land he will only use what he requires for his necessities. He has to live there. So there will be a certain amount he will need, which is necessary for him to use to live. But majority, he will be sending it back home. He will EFT it, or some way he will find that let it go back home, so that back home it can be invested for me to send back home. That's going to be everlasting and eternal. And my mansions and palaces and homes and orchards back home will be developed. So for you and I, our capital in this world is our life. Our capital in this world is our time. So when it comes to using time, then think of this individual. Put his picture and his example before you. How much of my life and time should I be using to establish myself in this world, to amass the things of this world, to make my empire in this world bigger and larger, in making my house or my estate or my cars, etc., multiply and multiply? And how much should I be using of my life in investing in my real home, which is Jannah? So the logical and the sensible answer is that majority of my time should be used in investing in my akhirah, and minimal time for whatever needs I have of this dunya. Now a unique point our elders mentioned, that in this world there are things which are our necessities. We have to look after our family, our wife, our children. We have responsibilities and duties which we cannot abandon. So in investing in the akhirah, it does not mean that we cut off and we abandon and we throw away the dunya at all, no. But rather, we tread and we go through dunya with akhirah in our mind. That whatever we're doing in this world is not being done just for the sake of staying in this world. Because my stay is not in this world. My stay is in Jannah. So if it means looking after my wife, I have to go out and earn for her. If we have the correct niyyah in our mind, and if we do it according to the correct tariqah and way Rasulullah s.a.w. has shown us, then even those efforts in acquiring our necessities becomes an act of ibadah, and it becomes an investment for our akhirah and for Jannah. So we should change our mindset and our outlook when working, or when investing, or when doing our necessities that we do in dunya. It should never be just for the sake of acquiring, amassing, and for staying in this world. It should rather be to prepare ourselves for the akhirah, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third point which we can take from this example, and it is part of the important message also that we have to deliver, that this individual, when he is in this foreign land and he has received this letter, the messenger has come, so his eyes have opened, he has realized that, you know what, my life in this foreign land is temporary, and whatever I have here is temporary, and whatever I'm enjoying here is temporary, and there is something back home which is much better, much more amazing, much more beautiful, much more magnificent. Now, naturally in his heart, he will have yearning and longing for back home. And in that foreign land, he will not have, you know, worry about attaching his heart to that foreign land. But together with that, when he realizes that back home is going to be the place of enjoyment, then do you think this individual will only now worry about himself and him making that safe trip back home? Or will he also make an effort that as much people as I can, I should also remind them of that home which we have left and which we are returning to? And when he looks around him and he sees that everyone seems to be in oblivion, seems to be in deception, they seem to be unaware of the reality that, you know what, we are just temporarily here in this foreign land and we are actually going back home. And if we do, we need to invest back home
majority of our capital. And whatever we invest in this land is only going to be temporary. One day it's going to perish, it's not going to last. And when he looks around and he sees that most people have forgotten the reality, then naturally, this person, it will create a concern within him. It will create a fikr and a worry within him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given man a natural nature to have worry and concern about other people. If a person sees another suffering, or another person, for example, burning in a fire, his natural human instinct is to help him and to save him. So when this individual now knows that when I'm going to go back, I don't want to enjoy alone. I want company to enjoy with me. I want to have my friends also with me. I want to have my family also with me. So then he will now make an effort. Then how can I remind everyone around me that see, this foreign land is not our ultimate abode. This foreign land is not our place for us to establish ourselves and remain forever. This is just temporary, we are all going back. Now this person will start thinking and he will start using different ways to go and remind everyone. He will show them all that letter he had received, that letter which is for us the Quran Sharif. He will introduce them to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will open to them that message of the real land, of the amazing things and all the enjoyments which is waiting back home. And he will go from person to person with this message. Why? Because he also wants that tomorrow he was my friend in this foreign land. I want him to be my friend back home as well. So in our life, each and every one of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this priceless gift of Iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Quran Sharif, has opened to us the reality of the Akhirah, of Jannah and Jahannam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now has given us a responsibility as well. That it is not that you just worry about yourself, that you make sure that you make it to Jannah and you forget everyone else around you. Rather, you make an effort as well, that as much people as you can, your friends, your family, your acquaintances, your work partners, everyone, just like in worldly terms, I would want good for that person. In worldly terms, I don't like to see people suffering. In worldly terms, I would like when they are prosperous as well. So too it should be that in terms of Akhirah, I would not like them to be suffering in the Akhirah. I would not like them to be suffering in the Qabr. I would want that they enjoy in the Akhirah as well. I would want that they have eternal bliss, eternal happiness in the Akhirah as well. This is the true concern and worry of a believer. And unique is this gift which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, of us helping others to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reminding them of the Akhirah, reminding them of their return. It is such a gift which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Quran he explains that this is like a tijaratan lan tabur. It is like a business deal whose profits continue to occur. One person who you bring closer to the masjid, you bring closer to deen, you bring closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is an investment for you, for your akhirah. Every amal and good deed that that person carries out, it is recorded in your book of deeds as well. Whatever khair and good that person does, you will also enjoy the benefits of it in the hereafter. At the time when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had laid siege to the fort in Khaybar, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he is giving Ali radiallahu anhu the flag now to go and conquer Khaybar, he gives him a message that, oh Ali, remember, that, oh Ali, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses you as a means of hidayat for one person, خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمُرِ النَّعَمِ, then this is better for you than red she camels. Mufassirun ulama explained that that was a very prized possession. Today we don't understand the value of camels. We might understand the value of cars. So the best car that we can think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses us as a means
of bringing one person closer to deen, one person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then whatever good of the dunya we can think of, this is better than that. Because this is making that man's akhirah, and this dunya is something which will perish. So in light of this fikr, in light of this worry and concern, there are many efforts of deen which take place in order to remind one another about the shortness of this life, about the real life of the hereafter. One effort which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, and He has blessed us with great abundance of this effort in South Africa, is the effort of da'wat and tabligh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us here in Natal a ni'mat and a bounty, that very soon on our doorstep in Durban there will be a gathering which will take place. And the maqsad, the purpose and objective behind is the same as what we were explaining. Then how we can first ourselves realize the reality of this world, and how we ourselves can realize that this world is not the be all and end all. We can realize and open our eyes and see the reality of Jannah that is waiting for us. And together with us realizing, the program is there also, with this fikr, with this worry and concern, that how we can remind our Muslim brothers as well. How we can become an ummah, that just as we have concern for the social or for the humanitarian welfare of each other, we have concern for the deeni welfare of each other as well. So like I am worried about the person's financial condition, I am worried about his deen as well. So this program, inshallah, next week, at the time of Jumu'ah, the program will start. It will be on Friday the 8th of August until Sunday the 10th of August. So 8th, 9th and 10th of August. Right on our doorstep in Durban, in Overport, there will be the Ijtima, the annual Ijtima which is taking place. This Ijtima, as our elders explained, is an occasion for us now to make tawbah. That, oh Allah, our life, we have lived it only worrying about this world. Oh Allah, now I want to change the direction of my life. I want to come towards you. I want to make an effort for Akhirah. And I want to make an effort on others so that they can also make an effort towards Akhirah. So that will be the fikr, that concern of the Ijtima. That how we can also use our wealth, also use our time to go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the message about Akhirah. Remind them, make them realize the reality of this world compared to the reality of Akhirah. So from Friday, the 8th of August, till Sunday, Sunday most probably it will finish around the time of Zuhr, which is the 10th of August. So there is effort which is taking place in many regards. And this Ijtima is an effort of deen as well. When it comes to the effort of deen, then deen and the effort of deen is linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always make a way for His deen and for the effort of His deen to flourish. Whether we join it or not, the deen of Allah and the effort of the deen of Allah will continue. Our good fortune will be that how we can also lend ourselves to help and support this effort. For us to become also one of those individuals who made it happen as well. Like for example, the building of a masjid. Sometimes whether we put any money or not, it doesn't make a difference. The masjid will still come up, the masjid will still run. But it will be our good fortune if our 100 rand, for example, was there as well. Because that will be an investment for us in the Akhirah. So same with this Ijtima. The Ijtima is the deen, is the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make divine plans for it to run. But our good fortune will be that how we can in some way lend our support. So in what ways can we lend support? A few ways we will mention. First and foremost, each and every one of us should be making dua for the Ijtima. Make dua that it be a means of success and a means of hidayah. Then together with that, we do some extra amal, contrary or over and above our normal amal, we do as a means of drawing the rahmat, the help and assistance of Allah. Like extra nafil salah, or extra sadaqah, or extra tasbihat, or even if it means fasting as well. So do some extra amal in preparation for the Ijtima. And then we make an effort that how we can give da'wat, how we can invite others as well to the Ijtima. We can call. If one person, you called him, and he came to the Ijtima and changed his life, that is enough for the guarantee of your Akhirah.
And like that, if he has to call his friends as well, all the good that they do will be credited to your account as well. So we should make an effort that how, as much people as we can, we should remind them, we should encourage them, and we should try and bring them as well to the ijtima. And then, the next is for us to physically attend the ijtima as well. And the ijtima does not only mean on Friday. Prior to the ijtima, there is work and effort which goes into preparation. So that has already started on site. Now the weekend is coming up, whatever free time we have, try and take out some time where we can go and give physical assistance and support. Even if it means laying down a musalla, or in whatever capacity we can lend our physical assistance, we should lend it as well. So whatever khidmat is required, then we liaise with the saathis in our masjid or the saathis that we know in order to ask them that how can we also give our physical support in helping towards the ijtima. And together with that, we should not forget that our women folk also are very essential in the success of the ijtima. Although they will not be physically attending, but they are like that engine of the car. When that car is going on the road, then everybody sees the beauty of the car and how fast the car is. But they don't realize that if there was no engine inside, the car will be stuck. So the women folk, we will not put them in public or parade them in the open. However, in their homes, they are the engine which is pumping the ruhani and spiritual support. So they also, we should encourage them, dua for the ijtima, engage in tahajjud salah, engage in dhikr, and make dua, increase in tilawat of Quran Sharif. And then in whatever other way they are able to help, whether it means making something, cooking something, or sending, with the mashura of our saathis, they should also lend their support to the ijtima. And together with that, as we mentioned, that there are many efforts of deen which take place to remind us of our akhirah. Another great program which is coming up this coming week, inshallah, in this very masjid. So one very senior alim, not of South Africa but of the world, Hazrat Mullah Qamru Zaman Sahib Hafidhahullah. Mulana is a very, very senior alim. He spent many years in the khidmat of great mashayikh, and they had given him khilafat and they had bestowed their blessings upon him. Mulana is very elderly, he's 90 years plus, but still, what is it that a person who's 90 years plus is driving him to take a trip to a foreign country? It is only that concern of the akhirat of us. So we should also take out some time. Mulana has traveled thousands of kilometers to come and impart to us some deen advices, impart to us the message of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to just come a few kilometers to attend the program. Mulana will not benefit from our presence, but definitely we will benefit from Mulana's presence. This Mulana, Hafidhahullah, is a very pious alim. And when it comes to ulama and the suhbat, being in the company of pious ulama, then this is something which has very great benefit. From the hadith we learn, hadith indicate that we're attending the company of the pious, the company wherein the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking place, then that can be a means for your maghfirat as well. So we should take out some time and we should avail ourselves. Monday after Isha, there will be a program in this masjid. So we should all try and make it, come for the program, sit with an open heart, listen to the advisors. And inshallah, this will be a means of our spiritual rejuvenation as well. And then take the message to others as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all for deen.